Please pray with me. God, we are grateful that Carmen is with us this morning. We ask that you guide and direct her as she brings the message. Open our ears, our minds, and hearts to hear. Amen. Welcome, Carmen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let's begin with a breather. Take a deep breath. Breathe. It is ironic to reflect on breath this morning, since most of you are watching a recording instead of a live sermon, precisely so that we don't breathe on each other. But I can still say, peace be with you. And you can respond to me and to each other, and also with you.
And also with you.
When I was a doula for Maple City Healthcare Center, accompanying Spanish-speaking women in labor and childbirth, there were many moments of wonder. If you have had the privilege of being present at that holy moment, you know the awe and power of seeing the face of a new human being, of hearing amidst all that is going on the baby's first snuggling breaths or cries. Baby's breath is amazing. Babies in the womb receive oxygen from their mother's breathing through their umbilical cord. They have an additional valve in their heart through which their blood pumps past their still developing lungs. Over the first couple of days after birth, if all is well, that third valve in the newborn's heart gradually closes completely so that she can receive oxygen through her own lungs and breathe fully. It all happens again, gloriously, messily, as in Genesis 2. Yahweh fashioned an earth creature out of the clay of the earth and blew into its nostrils the breath of life. And the earth creature became a living being. Breathe. For the past year, you have been reflecting together on transformational practices. Breathing is one that every one of us has been doing, practicing since birth. In Exodus, when Moses asks the voice in the burning bush for a name to tell the Israelites when they ask who has sent him, God says, "Tell them I am Yahweh." Try that a couple of times. Yahweh. Try saying the first syllable on the in-breath and the second syllable on the out-breath. Yahweh. Yahweh. Do you hear it? Hebrew scholars say that the name of God sounds very much like human breathing. We pray with every intake of nourishing breath. Even when we aren't paying attention, God is breathing us. Breathe. These days, we are paying attention to breath a lot. But we think of breath as passing on sickness and death. We cover our faces to protect ourselves and each other. And we cannot speak or think about breathing without lamenting, shouting, "It's not fair!" We are carrying in a new way the pain and shame of knowing that whole groups of people in this country can't breathe. Too many children of God, our brothers and sisters, have their breath taken violently, or in the slow chokehold of poverty and a racist system that does not allow them to freely live and move and have their being. "I can't breathe" resounds with fear and horror in loved ones struggling with COVID and loved ones subject to police violence. Our hearts cry out, "Breathe." We know that our very lives depend on breathing regularly. Breath is our energy, our rhythm, our very life force. According to the Mayo Clinic, intentional deep breathing can calm and regulate the nervous system. It lowers blood pressure, reduces stress, improves immunity and mood, and can be very effective in treating anxiety, post-traumatic stress, and depression. Our breathing even connects our conscious and unconscious minds and synchronizes our brain waves with the electrical field of our hearts, strengthening the connections to ourselves, to others, and to God that we all need and long for. Breath prayer has been a spiritual practice in the Christian church for millennia, particularly in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. It is a form of prayer focused on being with God, awakening to God's presence in us and all around us. Over time, a breath prayer can help us to experience what it means in Romans 8 for the Spirit to pray in us and to pray without ceasing. Breath prayer can release us from thinking too much about praying the right words and into praying with our hearts. By praying with our hearts, I don't mean praying with more feeling. I mean praying with more of ourselves. Our thoughts and feelings easily get caught up in past memories or in planning or worrying about the future. But the sensations of our bodies, like breath, are always in the present moment. In my experience, the out-breath brings a sensation of awareness and openness lower in the body around the solar plexus. That's why breath prayer is also called prayer of the heart. Breath prayer has been an important practice for me. For a stretch of time in my 20s, I practiced what is known as the Jesus Prayer. The traditional words are, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." Mercy is closely related to the Greek term for oil, which in Hebrew usage was a symbol of blessing. Over time, this prayer did begin to pray itself in me, in rhythm with my breathing. Whenever I noticed my breath, those words came into my awareness too. "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." The practice of silence, known as centering prayer, has been my home base for about 20 years. I've usually begun centering prayer by inhaling and exhaling a breath prayer with the two syllables, "Ama," a word that is both mama, like Jesus' Abba, and it's also the Spanish verb, love. Besides being a reminder of God's presence, this breath prayer is a reminder of my intention, of how and why I want to pray, to be with God and to grow in compassion, to learn to love. Since becoming a parent, it has been much harder to practice centering prayer regularly, but just noticing my in-breath and out-breath can help me release whatever is happening into God's love and re-enter the moment with more patience and trust. A good breath prayer for anxious times is, "Be still and know that I am God." Speaking or whispering the words brings the body into it more, but thinking the words while breathing through your nose is fine too, and I find more sustainable. Learning Gestalt pastoral care taught me that most of us learn, mostly unconsciously, to take very shallow breaths or to stop breathing, to disconnect from painful emotions. Check it out the next time you notice tears coming. Spiritual director Tara Owens, in her book, Embracing the Body, Finding God in Our Flesh and Bone, writes, "We're meant to take between 4 and 6 breaths a minute. Most of us are up somewhere in the vicinity of 16 to 20. We don't slow down and take the breath of God, perhaps even God's self, into the deepest places of ourselves. Often, in spiritual direction, I remind a directee, breathe. When tears or anger are struggling to surface, or when a new awareness has opened up in them, or to simply allow more space for a moment of joy, we often deny ourselves blessing the experience of God's love by dismissing or quickly moving on from moments of joy or gratitude or well-being. Check that out too. The next time you catch yourself enjoying something, breathe it in. Let's breathe. Like the disciples gathered in today's text, We are disoriented, grieving, fearful. For some of us, daily life in the pandemic continues more or less the same, with some inconveniences. But others have lost loved ones, work, focus, connection with family and friends, church family, every marker of what we've known. In some places around the world, in refugee camps, for those seeking asylum at our borders, life has become unbearable. And we are all exhausted, out of breath, tired of covering our faces, tired of Zoom, tired of staying home, tired of wondering what school will be like when it starts in a month, tired of wiping everything down and washing our hands for the length of the alphabet song. The world has turned upside down, and it feels like it will go on forever. In the post-resurrection stories, like this one, the crucifixion wounds Jesus shows the disciples are quite fresh. Thomas puts his fingers and hand into those wounds. Jesus breathes on his friends. In another story, Jesus is hungry. He asks if there is anything to eat, and they eat fish around a fire on the beach, like old times, something the disciples never expected to do with Jesus again. All these bodily details are very intentional. The Jesus story is the story of God as human body, God as us. The suspicion and rejection of our bodies we have inherited along the way is not true to the faith that claims that God is born as a human baby, which is pretty messy, hard work, in a barn, which is often smelly, to parents who are migrating strangers with no place to stay, which is happening all over the world in numbing numbers. Christian faith honors the body in all its messiness and limitation, not just as good, but as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the created world as the very place where God lives. The risen Christ may enter even when the door is locked in this text, but he is not a ghost or a vision. The Christ comes as Jesus, the human body, a human body again, incarnated, made flesh. The incarnation is the Creator's continuing loving effort to convince us that where there is embodiment, where there is matter, there is God. Breathe. So much of the time, unless we are injured or ill, we take our bodies for granted. We take breath for granted. It seems to me that spiritually, COVID is an invitation to slow down, to breathe with intention, and to live more deeply into our theology of incarnation. The incarnation deepens our responsibility to love others as ourselves, not just as much as ourselves, but as ourselves. COVID reveals what we have forgotten. We are inseparably entangled with all creation, especially all who have life and breath. We all share the air we breathe, recycling it back and forth with the trees. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "We are bound together, quote, we are bound together in an invisible, unfathomable web of relationships. Every time a butterfly beats its wings, every time a cat yawns, or a baby sneezes, the whole web shifts to accommodate it. It's called the chaos theory. It's that great mystery of God that binds us together, whether we know it, feel it, like it, or not. The God who is incarnate in Jesus Christ has a vision for the human race, and you are it, for better or worse." In this pandemic, we are experiencing what Brown Taylor calls the high cost of seeing the divine mystery through other people's eyes. In other words, seeing from the whole rather than just our individual perspective. It's not easy. It's frustrating and exhausting. It's work. It's work we must do firmly, but compassionately, African-American poet Alice Walker says it beautifully. We must be done with cruelty, especially to ourselves, but press hard on any parts of us, even those we have loved, that insist on remaining oblivious and asleep. Breathe. As the Creator sent me, so I send you, Jesus tells the disciples. And the commission, the responsibility given to us as followers of Jesus, as experiencers of the Incarnation, is great. Professor of New Testament Matthew Skinner writes that in the book of John, sin, our separation from God and from each other, is not about moral failure, but primarily about failure to recognize the presence of God in Jesus. He asserts that in verse 23, set free or release is a better translation than forgive, and retain is the opposite of release. Jesus said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What Jesus is telling the disciples is that the Spirit enables them to see the presence of God in Christ, the human one. They can participate in setting people free or not. We are asked to co-create. But first, Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have driven west on Basher Road out of Goshen. Just before you cross County Road 15, there's a patch of woods that comes right up to the road on both sides. If you have the windows open, you can feel the green as you drive by, deep and shady, and what must be several degrees cooler, a true breath of fresh air, a breath of green aliveness. Every time I have to slow down and breathe it in. That's what I think it must have been like, must be like, the breath of the risen Christ, the Holy Spirit, a true breath of fresh air. Breathe. The Holy Spirit blows where it will, we know, and we do not know what Spirit is bringing to birth as it hovers over the chaos of this global moment. Our destructive way of life has been years in the making. It won't change easily or overnight. But as young climate activist Greta Thunberg says, change is coming, whether you like it or not. We do know that we are each seen and known and exquisitely loved. We know the Holy Spirit is helper and comforter. We could all use some of that. We know that God works for good in all things and tells us over and over, do not fear. Breathe. Breathe in the Holy Spirit all the way down into your heart and your belly, all the way down to your toes and into the ground. Breathe the Spirit in now, inside your mask, and tomorrow, and again, that you too might be a breath of fresh air. Receive the Holy Spirit, that through us God might release the oppressed and renew the face of the earth. Peace be with you.